Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, titled Sati Quits the Body, and it's text number 6. Abrahma Goshorjita Yagya Vaishasham Abrahma Goshorjita Yagya Vaishasham Viprarishi jastam vibudascha sarvasa Viprarishi jastam vibudascha sarvasa Mirdavya mirdavayaha kanchana darba charma bir Mirdavayaha kanchana darba charma bir Nishrista bandham yajanam shama vishat Nishrista bandham yajanam shama vishat from all sides Brahma Gosha with the sounds of the Vedic hymns. Urjita, decorated. Yagya, sacrifice. Vaishasham, destruction of animals. Viprarishi Justam, attended by the great sages. Vibhudaye, with demigods. Cha and Sarvashaha on all sides. Mrit, clay. Daru, wood. Ayaha, iron. Kanchana, gold. Darba, kusha grass. Charmabihi, skins. Nishrista, made of. Bandham, sacrificial animals and pots. Yajanam, sacrifice. Samavisha, entered. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I'll read first and then we'll do it responsively. She then reached her father's house where the sacrifice was being performed and entered the arena where everyone was chanting the Vedic hymns. The great sages, brahmanas and demigods were all assembled there. And there were many sacrificial animals, as well as pots made of clay, stone, gold, grass and skin, which were all requisite for the sacrifice. Responsively, she then reached her father's house, where the sacrifice was being performed and entered the arena where everyone was chanting the Vedic hymns. The great sages, brahmanas and demigods were all assembled there. And there were many sacrificial animals as well as pots made of clay, stone, gold, grass and skin, which were all requisite for the sacrifice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When learned sages and brahmanas assembled to chant Vedic mantras, some of them also engage in arguing about the conclusion of the scriptures. Thus, some of the sages and brahmanas were arguing, and some of them were chanting the Vedic mantras. So the entire atmosphere was surcharged with transcendental sound vibration. This transcendental sound vibration has been simplified in the transcendental vibration Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age, no one is expected to be highly educated in the Vedic ways of understanding, because people are very slow, lazy and unfortunate. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the sound vibration Hare Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, it is also recommended Yagyahe Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. At the present moment, it is impossible to gather sacrificial necessities because of the poverty of the population and their lack of knowledge in Vedic mantras. Therefore, for this age, it is recommended that people gather together and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is accompanied by his associates. Indirectly, this indicates Lord Chaitanya, who is accompanied by his associates Nityananda, Advaita, and others. That is the process of performing yagya in this age. Another significant point in this verse is that there were animals for sacrifice. That these animals were meant for sacrifice does not mean that they were meant to be killed. The great sages and realized souls assembled were performing yagyas, and their realization was tested by animal sacrifice, just as in modern science, tests are made on animals to determine the effectiveness of a particular medicine. The brahmanas entrusted with the performance of yagya were very realized souls. And to test their realization, an old animal was offered in the fire and rejuvenated. That was the test of a Vedic mantra. The animals gathered were not meant to be killed and eaten. The real purpose of a sacrifice was not to replace a slaughterhouse, but to test a Vedic mantra by giving an animal new life. Animals were used to test the power of Vedic mantras, not for meat. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. 8:30. Okay, who's hungry? Prasadam is meant to be at 9 o'clock, is it? You're already hungry before class. Okay, this is Canto 4. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 is actually titled Creation of the Fourth Order. So creation is referring to Visarga. Lord Brahma is the chief of the progenitors. So he is the first order. And from him, he produced a few sons, four Kumaras. They didn't want to procreate. Then there were Rudras. They didn't want to actually procreate. Or they procreated, but not in the correct way. Then there appeared two personalities. Who? Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa. So they then obediently followed Lord Brahma's instruction to populate the universe. And they were the second order. Then came the third order, their children. They had five children. Who are they? Devahuti, Akuti, Prashuti, Uttanapad, and Priyavrata. So, Devahuti married who? Kardama. And they had how many daughters?
Nine.
So the daughters became the fourth order. Right? Then there was also the special personality, Lord Kapila was born as their son. Not born, appeared as their son. And then we've got Akuti, who married the sage Ruchi. There was a son born who was given to Swayambhuva Manu for Swayambhuva Manu to raise. Then there was a daughter born. Her name is Dakshina. Then there was the Lord appearing again. Lord Yagya appeared. Lord Yagya then married Dakshina and further population was created. Prashuti married who? Prashuti married who? Very important personality in this pastime.
Daksha.
Okay. And they had how many children or daughters? 16. 13 were married to the sage Dharma. One married to Agni. One married to Prithiloka. And the youngest was married to Lord Shiva. Okay, so Now, interestingly, so that's how the fourth order is coming about. So, interestingly, if you compare the pastime in between Devavati and Kardama Muni, when the Lord appeared, Lord Kapila appeared, the relationship there was of awe and reverence. It's like respectful, very polite, peaceful. But here, interestingly, we have got Lord Shiva, who has actually appeared as the Lord's representative. He's the topmost devotee, yes? And he's often referred to as what? Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. So he's the topmost devotee. But here, the relationship with Daksha, his father-in-law, is one of animosity. So it's contrasting relationship. But whatever the relationship, whether the Lord appears in a cordial, reverential mood and has that relationship, or whether there is animosity, ultimately the Lord is merciful enough to liberate the jivas. So we hear Lord Shiva, who is actually there are three principal characters, four principal characters in this pastime: Daksha, Lord Shiva, and Sati. And who's the fourth principal character or personality? Who is in the center of this all?
Krishna.
Krishna. Right? So no pastime can take place without the Lord being in the center of it all. Right? So here we see that there's this animosity between father-in-law and son-in-law, and the daughter is caught in between. Right? So in a way, superficially, we hear the pastimes of what's happening. Lord Shiva got offended. Daksha offended Lord Shiva in the yagya. And then there was no cordial relationship between the two of them for many, many thousands of years. Daksha had another yagya called the Vajapeya sacrifice. And now he is conducting what sacrifice? Brihaspati Sava. So it's the third yagya that he's conducting as far as the Srimad Bhagavatam has revealed to us. So he seems to be an expert in yagyas. Lord Shiva, as we know, is the topmost Vaishnava. And we know he's a Guna avatar. Okay, we know that. And he is the avatar of the mode of ignorance, right? Then he is also a demigod in one sense, because he gives boons to all his worshippers. He is easily pleased. He's called Asutosh, yeah. And he's also easily angry. And when he gets easily angry, he's called what? Rudra. Okay. But who really is Lord Shiva? What's his origin? He worships Lord Shankarshan. But what's his origin? So to understand Lord Shiva's origin, we have to go back to the source of creation, Sarga, where the Lord himself is creating. So we've got Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, Swayam Bhagavan, from whom all the expansions emanate. So he's got many, many expansions coming up. The scriptures have already described that in detail. Then we've got all the many Lord Narayan personalities in Vaikuntha. Then we've got Mahavishnu, one of his expansions also. And Mahavishnu is lying in the what ocean? Karna ocean, causal ocean. So the causal ocean is the closest to material energy. So how does this creation process start of the material creation? How does that start? Mahavishnu actually glances at, he casts his glance at what? Pradhan. What is Pradhan? Pradhan is the unmanifested, undifferentiated material energy. And that is spiritual. Pradhan is spiritual. Then when Pradhan is agitated by the Lord's glance, it becomes Mahatattva. Mahatattva is material, because this is where false ego and the three modes, they get differentiated. but they haven't manifest yet. When they manifest, then they are called prakriti. So, Mahatattva is material. Pradhan is spiritual. Prakriti is material. This is where all the manifestations, they start taking place. But the Lord, Mahavishnu, just glancing, is just not a mere glance. There is a lot happening in that word glance. Scriptures don't talk much about it, but Brahma Samhita talks a lot about it. So, when the Lord Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean and he desires to create this material world, just about when he is about to glance, I'm just talking about that little bit, that glance, okay, focus there. Even before all these universes are coming out from the skin, from the pores of his skin, just a glance. So he is desiring to create this material world. Then his consort, Rama Devi, she accompanies him. And who is Rama Devi? Rama Devi is actually Yoga Maya, expansion of Yoga Maya. Just like how Krishna has his consort Radharani, Mahavishnu has his consort Rama Devi. So desiring to create, and Rama Devi, the consort, understanding the Lord's desire to create, she actually carries the glance towards Pradhan. Now, as she is carrying the glance towards Pradhan, she also then expands into Mahamaya. Then she hands over this glance to another personality. And that personality is Shambhu. And who is this Shambhu? He's the original Lord Shiva. In Vaikuntha planets, there are many, many forms of Lord Narayan. Okay? There is one Lord Narayan called Sadashiv. Sadashiv expands and appears between the eyebrows of Mahavishnu as Shambhu. Shambhu takes the form of the halo or the dim twilight reflection of the glance which is being carried. And it is that Shambhu which comes in contact with Mahamaya. And that is why he is called Lord Shiva. Shiva is the one who comes in contact with Mahamaya. The Lord does not have direct contact with his illusory energy. He actually uses the services of his agents, and in this case we are seeing his consort Rama Devi and Shambhu. So, Shambhu represents the male procreation personality, and Mahamaya represents the female procreation personality. And it is when they combine, they unite, all the universes start appearing, all the 8.4 million species of life are actually generated, and then the jivas are preparing to enter to take up whatever bodies that they are deserve to receive. And it is Shambhu and Mahamaya, when they actually enter the material world, they take the form of Shiva and Durga Devi, respectively. All right? So, when we go to Lord Shiva temples, often you see the Linga and the Yoni. Many people go with the idea to pray to the symbol, the Linga and the Yoni, thinking that they will get a good husband or a good wife. But really, the Linga and the Yoni represent the male and female reproductive organs, and they represent material creation. So, if ever we go to Shiva temples, when we see those symbols, we actually recognize and acknowledge their role in material creation. So then, Lord Shiva, as he then enters, just like Lord Brahma entering every universe, there is a Lord Shiva in every universe as well. And there's Durga Devi as well in every universe. So the creation all proceeds from there. So we can see that Lord Shiva is playing a very, very important role in the process of creation, which is not talked about often. Then he is also said to be one and different with Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And Prabhupada often quotes this example of yogurt and milk. Okay, we have verse 45 in Brahma Samhita. I forget the verse. What's that? Shiram yata dadi vikara vishesha yoga. Okay, then the second line is sanjayate urtam tamaham bhajami. So Lord Shiva is referred to as similar to Krishna and different to Krishna as well, in one sense, because it's like yogurt originates from milk. Okay, that's the analogy that Prabhupada has often talked about. But there is another way where we can understand the tattva of how he is one and different from the Lord. We know that Lord Krishna has how many qualities? 64. In fullness, each one of his qualities are full, and each one of his qualities are inconceivable, difficult to actually understand. He can do whatever he wants. He's got qualities like he's gentle, he's a genius, he's intelligent, he's grave, he's affectionate, he's all attractive, and he's all famous, and the list goes on. Now the jivas, we jivas, conditioned jivas, we have got 50 of those qualities, but in very, very, very minute quantity. And those 50 that we have, we don't have it all the time in its minute quantity. So sometimes we got this quality, sometimes we got that quality, and sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're happy. So not all the 50 qualities are actually in us all the time. So 50 divided by 64 into 100, that's how many percent? I've done the maths. 78%. Okay. So the jivas can reach maximum 78% of the qualities of Krishna, who is 100%. Okay, that means that the 78% is what we need to achieve to become a pure devotee. Because if you're 100%, you're God. You cannot achieve 100%. Right? And there was a class given by Prabhupada somewhere where he was on the asan like that, and he was like telling the devotees listening to his class, you must be 100%. If you want to go back to Godhead, you must be 100%, 100%. The devotees were looking very forlorn, very downtrodden. How to get 100%? Yeah. And Prabhupada, being compassionate, he actually compromised. He said, even 90%, Krishna will take you back. The devotees were still looking down, still very sad. Some heads came up a little bit. Then he further compromised. Even 80%, Krishna will take you back, as he was coming down from the Vyasasan. Then the devotees were getting a little bit alert. As he was dramatically walking out towards the door, he threw his chadar over his shoulders, he turned around and said, even 70%, Krishna will take you back. That's from the mouth of a pure devotee. So we need not even achieve 78%. So Lord Krishna is 64, we are 78 maximum, and we don't have these 50 qualities in fullness. We have it in very, very minute quantity, not all the time. And Mahavishnu. Yeah, Mahavishnu has got 60 qualities. And Lord Shiva has got 55 qualities. In the 55 qualities that Lord Shiva has, 50 qualities are more than what we jivas have. Some lectures I've heard, they say it's actually 50 of those are complete in Lord Shiva. So just imagine how close he is to Krishna. He is in that 50 qualities, Satchit Ananda. He's got that complete Satchit Ananda. Then he's got 5 more extra, which are partial, that we don't have, but which are complete in Lord Krishna. The 5 are that he has got, he possesses perfect mystics. Then he is ever fresh. He is changeless. Then he is, what's the other one? He is Satchit Ananda, as I mentioned. Then, have I mentioned 5? Satchit Ananda, he is possessing all mystic perfections. He is all cognizant. He is changeless and he is ever fresh. Those are the 5 that we don't have, Lord Shiva has. So just see how close Lord Shiva is to Lord Krishna. And this is the personality that Daksha is messing around with. Lord Shiva is always meditating. He is in complete absorption meditating on who? Shankarshan, his worshipable personality, or Krishna. And in fact, one time there's this pastime where in Kailash, one day after he had done his Ekadasi fasting, Lord Shiva then called his consort Parvati and said, I'm going to honor Prashadam, Ekadasi breakfast. Come join me. Then Mother Parvati, she said, my dear Lord, I'll be happy to join you, but right now I have to finish my Vishnu Sahasranam chanting. Because she was chanting the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Shiva said, Rama Rameti Rameti, Rame Rame Manorame, Sahasra Nama Nama Bistulyam, Rama Nama Varanane. Rama Rameti Rameti. My dear lovely faced Parvati Varanana, I'm always chanting on Ram Ram Ram. Rame Rame Manorame. And when I chant these names of Ram, I am in total bliss. Sahasra Nama Vistulyam. So if you chant this one name of Ram, it is equal to the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. So you can now just chant Ram one time and come and join me. And not wanting to lose the opportunity, Goddess Parvati, she actually says, Ram. And they sit down and enjoy, honor Lord Krishna's prasad. Then there was this other pastime where he was actually meditating in Kailash. And then he heard this enchanting, melodious sound of the flute. The flute of Lord Krishna emanating from Vrindavan. So Lord Krishna followed the sound from Kailash. He came down, he found it's actually coming from Vrindavan. And it was about the time the Rasa Lila was going to start. So Lord Shiva got excited. He wanted to actually participate in the Rasa Lila. So he eagerly went. Yoga Maya stopped him. Hang on. You can't enter here. You got a male body. Here only Krishna is the sole Purusha. No one else can actually come. The rest are all gopis. Lord Shiva then argued, I'm a devotee. I'm always meditating on him. Then there was this banter, and knowing his purity, Yogamaya said, all right, you have to come, or you can come, but you can't come like this in your form as a male. You have to change bodies into a gopi. Then Lord Shiva said, how do I do that? Don't worry, I'll make arrangements for you. You go see Vrinda Devi. So he went and saw Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi took Lord Shiva to Mansarovar Lake, where that lake was created from whose tears? Mansarovar Lake. Radharani's tears. She was angry one time. There was another pastime. So Lord Shiva entered Mansarovar Lake and he came out as a gopi. Came out as a gopi and he was taken to a spot, the Rasa Lila, where it was about to start. When he was put there, Lord Krishna saw him. He said, oh my dear Lord Shiva, you are here. I'm so happy to see you. Welcome, Gopeshwar. You are now the protector of all the gopis. You are the chief gopi. Radharani heard that. What is this? I'm the chief gopi. Now you see this new girl, you suddenly go and give her the title chief gopi. Then Lord Krishna pacified Radharani. Don't worry. This is only Lord Shiva who has come to participate in the Rasa Leela. And he will have his position here. And he will be the Kshetrapal of the Dham. He will be the protector of the Dham. He will be the protector of the gopis. And therefore he got the name Gopeshwar Mahadev. So the Dham, Vrindavan, there are many, many prominent Lord Shiva temples. We got Bhuteshwar Mahadev in where? Mathura. And then we have got Kameshwar Mahadev where? Kamyavan. Then we have got Chakleshwar Mahadev where? Near Govardhan, near Manasi Ganga. And that pastime there, how he got that position was, when the Govardhan Leela was going on, where Lord Indra was smashing Govardhan Hill with pillars of rain, then all the Rajabasis, they went under Govardhan Hill, they got protection. And to protect them, to keep it all dry and nice warm heater, Lord Krishna released Sudarshan Chakra. So the chakra was circling Govardhan Hill fast, very time, and drying up all the waters and keeping it nice and warm for the Prajabasis under Govardhan Hill. So then after that whole pastime, then Sudarshan Chakra came to Lord Krishna and said, thank you for giving me this service, now give me a place to stay, okay, to be recognized for my service here. So Lord Krishna then said, you would now take place here as Chakreshwar. Okay. But then from the local dialect, it became Chakleshwar. Chakleshwar. I can't get it right. Then because Lord Shiva was also there, then he was also recognized for his presence and he got the name of Chakleshwar Mahadev. There's also another Shiva temple on Nandagram called Nandishwar Mahadev. So Nandishwar Parvat Hill, and we got Nandagram village, and there's Nandabhavan. Nandabhavan is, of course, Nanda Maharaja's house. So one time, Lord Shiva, in his normal appearance, smeared with ash, crematorium ash, skull and bones around his neck, okay, matted hair, barely wearing anything except for the bark. Okay. He went to the house where Lord Krishna, small baby, Mother Yashoda opened the door, he knocked on the door, Mother Yashoda opened the door, and she was afraid of recognize him. She couldn't recognize it was Lord Shiva. And she said, she thought it was just another sadhu coming for Madhukari, begging for some alms. So she said, don't worry, I'll go get you some. He said, no. I'm actually here not for food. I'm actually here to come take darshan of your son. She said, what? You looking like this, take darshan of my son? No way, he'll be afraid. I can't let you take darshan. And she said, look, I'll give you some alms. You go away, please. Because if he sees, he will cry. So, Lord Shiva left. He left, he went to a place called Ashishwar Van, where he was hopeful that one day he'll get the darshan of Lord Krishna. But meanwhile, Lord Krishna knew that he had already come, and Lord Krishna, baby Krishna, wanted to have the darshan of his topmost devotee. So he then started crying. He cried and cried and cried and cried, and when little Krishna cries, it's big drama in the village. Okay? Everybody has to get involved. So all the villagers came and started pacifying him. Nobody could make him stop crying. And then Purnamasi came, wise old lady. She started talking to Mother Yashoda. What's going on? Why? Tell me, what did you do? It was like trial and error, trying to identify what went wrong. Why is he crying nonstop? So one by one, then it was identified that there was the sadhu-looking personality who came. He wasn't given the honor of the darshan. He left, and since then Krishna has been crying. So Purnamasi said, that is the problem. Go find this personality. So the Vrajabasi went all over, looked for him, found him, brought Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva came, knocked on the door. Mother Yashoda, Krishna was standing nearby. She opened the door a little bit. Krishna's eyes and Lord Shiva's eyes met. They got wonderful little darshan. Lord Shiva was happy. Lord Krishna, who was crying and crying, immediately stopped crying and gave a big broad smile. Quickly, Mother Yashoda closed the door. Enough. Enough darshan. My son stopped crying. Okay. Lord Shiva said, no, hang on. I haven't got full darshan yet. You have to give me more. Then, knowing that, Lord Krishna started crying again. Oh dear, how to stop this? Then Mother Yashoda had to then negotiate with Lord Shiva now. All right, she opened the door and she said, okay, looks like we have to keep you around here so that little Krishna doesn't cry. And therefore now, you name your price. So Lord Shiva now was in control of negotiating. Two conditions, he said. Whenever you bathe your little son, sprinkle the water on me. Condition number one. Condition number two, whenever you offer him food, give me some. Mahaprasadam. So, Nandagram Hill, I was told near Nandabhavan, there is this Shiva temple, Nandishwar temple, where to this day I think the tradition is still being practiced.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So that's how that passed. See, there is this close relationship between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. And Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Devotion that Lord Shiva's bhav is a mixture of Dasya Ras and Sakya Ras. And we've heard in these pastimes where he displays that, where he's given the service of protecting the dam, and he's having this friendly pastime with Lord Krishna. Now, geez, 9 o'clock. Okay. I've got a lot more to speak about Lord Shiva, but so really, this is the kind of exalted, elevated personality that Daksha is committing offenses to. Daksha is ignorant. We know that, we have seen earlier in the verses where he has cursed Lord Shiva. And Daksha, of course, is envious, puffed up, and to him, his worship of the Lord is through yagyas. He conducts many yagyas. To him, yep, I'm worshipping God, I'll conduct yagyas, and he displays his so-called devotion in that way. But no, it's more than that. Okay, it needs bhakti, true bhakti, and understanding that yagyas are actually to please Lord Krishna, the Lord. Every yagya that we do is actually to please the Lord. But today we see in society, one, society is very material conscious, just like how Daksha is. And remember, this is happening in the fourth order of creation, where this material consciousness being displayed by Daksha is happening now more prevalent, we see it. So the Daksha consciousness is more prevalent today, and there is a lot of ignorance about who God is and why we do rituals like yagyas. 10th canto, chapter 23, where the Brahmana's wives were blessed. Even there, we see the ignorance of the Brahmanas there. Knowing that yagyas are to please the Lord, what happened in that pastime? One day, Lord Krishna and the cowherd boys were in Vrindavan. Okay, it was a hot summer day. They were actually walking around. And the trees, because they're Kalpa Vriksha trees, the trees were actually forming canopies as Lord Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cows were all walking. They formed the canopies to give them cool shade. And Lord Krishna actually glorified the trees, saying, look how wonderfully they're protecting us. So as they walked, they came to the Yamuna, and then they had nice bath there. Then the cowherd boy said, I'm very hungry. We are very hungry. And Lord Krishna said, fine, you go to this place called, there's a place called Bathrop, I think near, in Vrindavan. And they said, there are a group of brahmanas there doing yajnas. Go and ask them for some food, they'll give. So the cowherd boys went there, and the brahmanas were there absorbed in their rituals of doing the yajna. They did not even acknowledge the cowherd boys. So-called brahmanas, if they actually understood that yajnas are performed to please the Lord, here you have brahmanas where the cowherd boys are coming to tell them, Lord Krishna and his brother Balaram are nearby and they are hungry. They've sent us to actually ask for food from you. Please give us some food to take to them. And the brahmanas gave more importance to their yajna than to actually attending to the needs of the Lord. That's how ignorant they are, or they were. And that's how we see Daksha's ignorance here too. Okay. So in one sense, actually, come to think of it, I just want to share my realization at this point about this Daksha mentality that we have. 8 days ago, we celebrated what festival? Govardhan Puja. Okay. I got many, many realizations. Not about Krishna. I got many, many realizations about how creative our devotee community is when it comes to prasadam. Amazing creativity. So I saw a long queue was there, snaking all the way back to the new kitchen there. And I thought, it's too long a queue. Let's go up and do some service. I thought I'd just go up and serve. So there was a long queue. I walked on the right-hand side of the staircase, went up, went to the entrance of the Prasadam Hall, just the doorway. Big jam, big traffic jam there. It was like, one, we got this queue. Then I looked inside. There was another queue in the Prasadam Hall. And the servers were serving. But right there, where the serving was taking place, there were another 20, 30 people just clogging up the entrance. There was no queue. No way that this queue could have moved until that clog was broken up. I said, what to do? I can't even go in to try and do some serving. Then, by Krishna's mercy, I had to play the role of crowd controller. Difficult role. I don't normally do it, but it's a difficult role. Standing there at the doorway, then I got many, many realizations. We get people who are jumping queue all the way from, the long queue is there, but instead of waiting in the queue, they come all the way trying to enter. I got personalities like the four Kumaras. Yeah? Someone's angry with me. Hare Krishna, forgive me. I had personalities like the four Kumaras. Little ones, you know, running up without a care in the world. It's like, no need to queue, just enter the Prasadam Hall. I had to play the bad guy and I stopped them. I said, where are you going? Oh, my mother sent me to take prasadam. I said, no, go back in queue. So they disappeared like little ants, you know, they just came in, they ran out again. Then there were another one or two elder-looking cowherd boys who were very creative. And I was like looking out, they were trying to sneak behind me and all that. You know, I had to stop them and send them down for lining up as well. Then I also experienced the relationship our grihastha couples have. Suddenly there was this vipralamba bhav that they were displaying. Yeah. One of them, whether a wife or a husband, will come to me, Prabhu, if it's a male, Prabhu, my wife is in there. Can I please go and see her? Yeah. Or a Mataji will come and say, Prabhu, my Prabhu called from inside. I think he wants to see me now. I don't know what about. Suddenly there's this strong love. Then I also saw the Daksha personality. The Daksha personality is who didn't care about the long queue. They minimize the importance of everyone. They walk in, they saunter in. It's like total ignorance of me standing there. It's like, who are you to stop me? You know, walk in, help themselves. It happens in our community. Okay. Then the brahmachari, suddenly they become very enthusiastic. They want to do seva at that time. Prabhu, I want to enter to do seva. I let a few in. 2-3 minutes later, they come out with big big plates. So, but it's the Daksha mentality persons who really are a concern. Here we are in our devotee community. We are listening to the Bhagavatam every day. We are chanting the names of Krishna every day. And we are expected to behave in a way where we actually set a good example. In fact, the sad thing was, one newcomer and his family, they had come for that festival, one newcomer, he came up to me towards the end and he complained. He complained about the rudeness, about what he had experienced. And he said, I come from a different temple and we do it in a more organized way. Yeah. So I told him very politely, I apologize, sorry Prabhu, if you can, please keep coming and teach us how you do it in your temple. I don't know whether he'll come or not, but we'll see. Right? So what we behave as a community is observed by people out there. And how we behave here within the community may be acceptable to us. We may feel that this is the norm, this is how Melbourne Temple is. We crowd, we don't line up, we just help ourselves. But there are others who are observing how this Hare Krishna Melbourne community is. And how we behave can inspire them or chase them away for good. So I don't know whether this newcomer and his family are ever going to come back.
Right. If they come, they will become also Gopas.
So to sum this up, okay. This pastime, the key phrase here that I want to touch on is, where it says here, Brahmanas, they test their realization. When the yagyas, the sacrifices are being conducted, they actually test their realization. Okay? So, in Krishna consciousness, how do we test our realization? Many, many years we're in the movement, okay? And we are behaving in the way that we're behaving, we're doing our sadhana. How do we actually test our realization whether we're actually making advancement or not? And to understand that, we got to look at from Sati's perspective. Earlier I said Sati is actually caught between material consciousness, which is being displayed by her father, Daksha, and spiritual consciousness, which is being displayed by her husband, Lord Shiva. So in a way, Sati is like the Tatastha Shakti, which is we, the marginal potency between material and spirit. We saw in a few verses earlier where she actually was pacing up and down like the pendulum of a clock. It's like swinging between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness, right? And then finally, just like how we misused our minute independence to leave Krishna in the spiritual world, she also left Lord Shiva to go to her father's house. Even though Lord Shiva advised her not to go, you're not welcome there. Lord Krishna, before letting us go from the spiritual world, he would have told us, don't go, you're not welcome in the material world. Did we listen? No, we walked away like Sati. We walked away, and here now we are going through all this material consciousness, material environment. We are experiencing what Daksha is experiencing. We are puffed up, okay? We are egotistical, selfish, self-centered. The world revolves around us. And now we have been blessed with this causeless mercy by joining the Hare Krishna movement to actually start our journey back to Godhead. So the test of our realization actually comes in understanding and practicing the mood and mission of our gurus. I wonder if our gurus actually rush for prasadam without lining up. Maybe we can say no, they don't even line up, they get served privately. But we've got to understand their mood, their mission. Their mission is to actually give Krishna consciousness. The test of our realization is as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness, to know that this journey is not about saving ourselves. This journey, somewhere along the line, we get this light bulb where it tells us we got to give this to others. Prabhupada got that turning point in 1922. He was young Abhay Charan. Narendranath Mallik, his friend, one evening told Prabhupada, come go and meet this sadhu. So they went to this place, this ashram, Ulta Danga Junction there, Calcutta, went to the rooftop, and who was there? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually talking to his disciples. So Prabhupada and Narendranath Mallik, they paid obeisances, and as they were coming up, even before they could be properly seated, even before first words could be exchanged, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at Prabhupada and said, you are an educated young man. Why don't you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world? Prabhupada was shocked. No Hare Krishna, no Hare Bol. No. It's like straight away instruction came. 2 hours Prabhupada sat down with Bhakti Siddhanta that night, that evening. At the end of it all, he told Narendranath Mallik, I've met a very saintly person. And from that point on, it became the turning point for Prabhupada to actually take on the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness all throughout the world. And for 43 years, Prabhupada was meditating, planning, thinking, preparing how to actually start this journey of propagating Krishna consciousness throughout the world. 13th of August 1965, he boarded the Jaladuta and he landed 17th of September 1965, not knowing to turn left or right, but the worldwide Hare Krishna movement today started by Srila Prabhupada standing under a tree and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's how we test our realization, as to see whether we are actually heading in the right direction and whether we are coming to the turning point, which is going to clarify what we are going to do for the rest of our journey in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Questions, comments, anything I said wrong, anyone I offended with the prasadam pastime?
Just one point is more. In the Prabhupada written, the pore of skin. What is pore of skin?
Grass and skin.
Grass and skin.
Yeah. See, those days, all sorts of things were offered in yagya. Even liquor was offered in yagya. So, skin, well, we just are reading, even animals were offered, but it's for a specific purpose. To have the correct understanding of that purpose. Ultimately is to please Lord Krishna. So all sorts of, in fact, all these ingredients, this paraphernalia, the utensils, they are all manifestations of the opulence of Lord Krishna in these yagyas, the results which come out of it. That's it. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
Very, very beautiful. Krishna, you color. Come here. Come here. Thank you very much. Very good.